Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Merry Christmas Eve.
Merry Christmas Eve.
Glad that you are worshiping with us this morning. I actually heard this morning. Do you know what happened in 1906? There was some sailors out on a ship. Do you know what happened to them on 1906? For the very first time, they heard coming over the radio voices, a voice, in 1906. You can look it up. And all they had seen was just the, what do you call it, radar sounds before that. But now they saw voices. And guess what the first thing said over the radio to those sailors in 1906? Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to those on whom His favor rests. That message is for us today as well. Let's invite the Holy Spirit in this place as we celebrate His birth. Pray with me. Father, You are so good. And we do bring glory to You in the highest. Would You send Your Holy Spirit into this place? Would You send it into our church, into our city, into our families, into our country and our culture? If ever we need You, God, it's now. So would You send Your Holy Spirit, and would You change us? Make us more like You. We lift high the name of Jesus, that name that is above every name. And it's in that name we pray. Amen. Welcome again, and welcome to our live stream audience. Let's rise if you are able as we worship together.
Gloria, in excelsis Deo. freaking egg. I think Jeff's moving here, so I'm watching him.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Around 700 BC, the prophet Isaiah wrote, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." 700 years later, Jesus Christ fulfilled that prophecy. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life."
The fourth candle of Advent is the candle of love. Today we light this candle to remind us of God's great love, demonstrated once and for all through Jesus Christ. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee light. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark they shine, the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born a baby, and gathered all above, while mortals sleep, the angels keep
the great light.
of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, God with us. A round of applause this morning. Merry Christmas Eve to every one of you. You may be seated.
Good morning, church, and Merry Christmas. Good to see everybody this morning. I want to encourage you to check into this service through the app. Once again, bless you who are worshiping in your homes. Wanted to remind everybody that our Christmas Eve service starts tonight at 5:30 and will last about an hour. That's always a great time of fellowship and celebrating who Jesus is and a great time of remembering those who have gone before us so that he has taken home. And we always have a special time of sharing communion together. So y'all please join us for that. And next Sunday morning, we have the same schedule as far as no early service, no Sunday school. We'll just have one 10:45 a.m. service next Sunday. Let's stand and let's don't stand. I just read my note. No Apostles' Creed. Please be seated if you stood up. Sorry about that. We're a little off our normal schedule this morning. There's a scripture I want to pray into this morning, Luke 2. Scripture we're all familiar with, especially it resonates with us this time of year. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, listen, peace to those on whom his favor rests." Who wants the favor of the Lord? Amen. I don't know if it's contingent on peace coming as far as us having his favor or not, but Scripture says, peace to those on whom his favor rests. So I'm going to pray this morning for his favor rest on us, his favor to rest on families that are represented here this morning. Man, what a great opportunity it is for families to reconnect. And man, I just want God to bless that. And I believe he wants to bless that as well. So let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the Son. And this, I don't know, this Jeff prayed this morning in our prayer time. Jesus, happy birthday. Happy birthday. Thank you for humbling yourself, taking on the form of a human being, going through this process of growing up and skinning your knee and things that kids just do. And as you matured into an adult, you were incredibly obedient to the Father. Great example for us to follow. That obedience took you to the cross, and because of that we have life. Because of you resurrecting from the dead, we have life. And I think about this scripture in Luke that peace comes to those on whom your favor rests. God, I just pray for incredible favor for the body of Christ this morning, incredible favor for people in this room. And Lord, as families reconnect, as families together today, I pray, God, just for incredible peace around the tree, peace around the table. As they spend time together, as they share a meal together, as they laugh together. And Lord, if there are strained relationships that may have been strained for years, I pray that those be mended this year. I pray for reconciliation to take place this year. And Father, maybe that starts with your favor resting on us. Lord, help us to be good receivers of your favor as you extend that our direction. Father, I just thank you for this time of year. I thank you for opportunities to focus on how good you are. I pray that this Christmas season is like no other for all of us. Oh Lord, we love you. We thank you for opportunities to pray, and we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. I want to remind you, we'll have several people available for prayer after the service. Please consider taking advantage of that. We have our giving options on the screen. Also, there's offering boxes by the doors. God bless you. Have a great day.
Lift up your song, 'cause you got a lion inside of those
It is so good to be here worshiping with you this morning. And I'm glad that you are here. Yeah, it's okay. We got one clapper. That's good. One clapper. If you are a guest this morning, I hope you feel the Holy Spirit. I hope you feel the love of His people. And I'm glad you're here. We are glad you're here. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you that says guest registration with a blue stripe. And would love for you to fill that out. I'd love to get to know you. Have a free gift for our guests. I'll be out at this end of the foyer at the end of the service. Have a free gift for our guests. If you would turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Now, I'm going to stop for just a second. I want to set this up. Remember the, I pulled it up earlier, the, if you go to Genesis chapter 1, don't try to go there now, but when God was creating, it says in Genesis 1, verse 26, it said, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. He's speaking plural, and what's he talking about? The Trinity. The Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is there at creation. Jesus didn't just become. I mean, he came. He stepped down out of heaven, God Himself. And in this passage we're reading today, and I'm going to pronounce it in the West Texas slang, Logos. That's how I pronounce it. Others may pronounce it different. But in the beginning was the Word. That Word is Logos, which means divine expression or Christ. It's what He's talking about. John is writing, in the beginning was the Word. So you could replace Jesus every time I say Word. And notice if you're in any of your scripture, you can see it there on the screen. Word is capitalized, speaking of the divine. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word, Jesus, was with God, and the Word, here it is, was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. So, talking about this baby that was born in Bethlehem that we celebrate this time of the year, he was, and He's the Alpha and Omega, the very beginning, the very end. He was before, and He will be there at the end. In Him, in Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Boy, that's still true today, church. Verse 14. The Word, Jesus, became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is John, the Apostle John's words, and he's saying, we have seen His glory. We were there. We've seen it. These words that we write to you, we saw firsthand. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we want to hear from you. We need to hear from you. May we come celebrating this season, but Father, would you take us deeper? Would you take us deeper with understanding who you are and what you've done for us? So, Holy Spirit, come and speak to us in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you, I don't know about how old, probably 40-ish or so and younger, may not remember this man, but there was a man named Paul Harvey. Good day. You know, that guy. So, Paul Harvey, if you're younger and you don't know who Paul Harvey is, ask an old person like me and I'll tell you all about it. Paul Harvey, on Christmas every year, he would tell this story. And I ran across it again leading up to today, and I just want us to hear it. I love this story. Go ahead and play that, Ben.
The man I'm talking about was not a Scrooge now. He was a kind, a decent, a mostly good man, generous to his family and upright in his dealings with other men, but he just did not believe in all of that incarnation stuff which the churches proclaim at Christmas time. It just did not make sense. And he was too honest to pretend otherwise. He could not swallow the Jesus story about God coming to earth as a man. He told his wife, "I'm truly sorry to distress you, but I'm just not going with you to church this Christmas Eve." He said he'd feel like a hypocrite, that he'd much rather just stay home, but that he would wait up for them. So he stayed, and they went to the midnight service. Now, shortly after the family drove away in the car, snow began to fall. He went to the window to watch the flurries getting heavier and heavier. Then he went back to his fireside chair, began to read his newspaper. Minutes later, he was startled by a thudding sound, and then another, then yet another. At first, he thought somebody must be throwing snowballs against the living room window. But when he went to the front door to investigate, he found a flock of birds huddled out there miserably in the snow. They had been caught in the storm. In a desperate search for shelter, they had tried to fly through his large landscape window. That was what had been making the sound. Well, he couldn't let those poor creatures just lie there and freeze. So he remembered the barn where his children stabled their pony. That would provide a warm shelter. All he would have to do is direct the birds into that shelter. Quickly, he put on a coat and galoshes, and he tramped through the deepening snow to the barn, and he opened the doors wide. And inside the barn, he turned on a light so the birds would know the way in. But the birds did not come in. So he figured that food would entice them. He went back into the house and fetched some breadcrumbs and sprinkled those on the snow, making a trail of breadcrumbs to the yellow-lighted, wide-open doorway of the stable. But to his dismay, the birds ignored the breadcrumbs. The birds just continued to flop around helplessly in the snow. He tried catching them. He could not. He tried shooing them into the barn by walking around them, waving his arms, but instead they scattered in every direction except into the warm, lighted barn. And that's when he realized that they were afraid of him. They were afraid of him. To him, he reasoned, "I'm a strange, terrifying creature. If only I could think of some way to let them know that they can trust me, that I'm not trying to hurt them, but to help them." But how? Any move he made tended to frighten them and confuse them. They just would not follow. They would not be led or shooed because they feared him. And he thought to himself, if only I could be a bird now, if I could be a bird and mingle with them and speak their language and tell them not to be afraid, then I could show them the way to the safe warm barn, but I would have to be one of them, wouldn't I? So they could see and hear and understand. At that moment, the church bells began to ring. The sound reached his ears. Above the sounds of the wind, and he stood there listening to the bells. Adeste Fidelis, listening to the bells pealing the glad tidings of Christmas, and he sank to his knees in the snow. Paul Harvey, I hope for you and those you love, this will be a wonderfully merry Christmas.
I miss Paul Harvey. So we're concluding the Advent series today, God with us, God with us. Today's message is love came down, love came down. As I spoke of earlier, that word logos, the word, is meaning that Jesus, God himself, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So I want to just, this is going to be a simple message of the gospel today. Are you ready? First thing I want us to talk about, the love, or God, came down to save us from our sins. He came down to save us from our sins. The angel said to Joseph, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." That name, Jesus, the Greek form of the Hebrew Yeshua, to deliver, to save, to rescue. I've done this before, but if you want to know just a real basic gospel that you can share with people, it's, anybody know the Roman road? I've talked about it before, preached about it before. We're going to go over that, but here's what I would encourage you to do in your own Bible. The Roman road that we're going to go over is in your handout. Take the scripture that is most familiar to you. Most of the time it's John 3:16 or something that you'll, it could be Psalm 23, a very familiar scripture to you. And go to that scripture, so you'll always know where to start. Go to that scripture and in the margin, write Romans 3:23. You can do that now or you can do that another time. Right, Romans 3:23. What does Romans 3:23 tell us? "For all have sinned and fall short of God, the glory of God." This is the gospel, church. This is the gospel. This is why he came. For all have sinned, not most, not some, not the worst of us, but the very best of us. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Because what is the glory of God? The standard of God is holiness, perfection, righteousness. None of us attain that in our own strength. Second, and then go to Romans 3:23 that you just wrote down. Go to Romans 3:23, and in the margin there, after you've highlighted or underlined Romans 3:23, in the margin there, write Romans 6:23. "For all of sin shall fall short of the glory of God," Romans 6:23, "for the wages of sin," the punishment for sin, "is death." Meaning, our sin has consequences. Our sin, we can go all the way back to the garden and read about it in Genesis. God said, if you are disobedient to me, you will surely die. You will be separated from me. There'll be a separation. "For the wages, the punishment of sin, is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus." It's a gift. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. He gives it to us. So then you go from there, you go to Romans 5:8. You write in the margin, Romans 5:8, go to Romans 5:8 and highlighting along the way. "But God," so the wages of sin, the punishment for sin, is death, "but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We have now been justified by his blood." So I tell you, I say this all the time, but it's so important because we get it wrong so many times as Christians and even in the church and sometimes coming out of pulpits. We can put so much emphasis on trying to be good, trying to be a holy people, which is important that we should strive for holiness, but that's not what saves us. It is a gift. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He doesn't say, Hatcher, go and clean yourself up, get yourself presented to me, come back, and maybe I'll give you eternal life. No, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Then, in that margin, write Romans 10:9, the last step of the Roman road. And then go to Romans 10:9. "If we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved." If Scripture is talking over and over about how we are to be saved, that to me, if we believe in God's word, first of all, we have to understand, do we believe in this? Do we believe God's word? This is God's holy, inspired word. If we do believe that this is his word, it says we must be saved. Because we're lost. We're sinners. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Now, as someone comes into faith in Christ and they profess a faith in Christ and they're baptized in that faith, I always ask them, and we talk about, is Jesus your Savior and your Lord? That's two different things. Savior meaning he saves us from our sin. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He saves us from our sins. But it says if we confess with our mouth that he's not just our Savior, but he's our Lord. Lord means we've given authority to him in our life. We surrender our own will to his will, and he is the Lord of our life. Is this on? If we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Some people will even say that, well, the resurrection didn't happen. That's an Easter message. But the resurrection didn't happen, and there's all sorts of evidence that it did. But we must believe in our heart that God took this Savior who was taken down off the cross dead and put in a tomb for 3 days, and then suddenly on the third day, they go, the ladies go to anoint his body, and the angel meets him and says, he's not here. He's risen just as he said he would. We must believe that he is Lord, confess that he is Lord, and believe that God is raising from the dead, and we will be saved. Jesus said, he came down, he said, I am the way. The way to what? He's the way to salvation, to eternal life. He's the way. And if this makes me a mean-spirited person, so be it. But he says he's the way. He doesn't say I'm a way. There aren't other ways to the Father. It's through Jesus. And people, our culture will try to make us feel like we're haters if we share that with lost people, people that need Jesus. I would say this. We're the most loving people in the world if we share that. You want to be hateful? Don't share it. Jesus said, I'm the way to salvation. Secondly, love. God came down to testify to the truth. Man, I'm telling you, if ever we needed truth, I was watching a report here just this weekend. And they were demonstrating things that, and this is not political, this is just the truth. In order to get certain people elected 10 years ago, you had to say this. Today, to get those same people elected, you no longer can say that. You have to say this. Our culture has flipped. We need truth, truth that transcends our culture, that transcends our times, transcends politically correctness. Jesus said, not only am I the way, but I'm the truth. He is the truth. He doesn't represent a truth. He is the truth. Pilate said to Jesus, you're a king then? And Jesus said, you are right in saying that I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world so that we could sing Christmas carols. Now, that's beautiful. I love our choir. I love what we're doing this morning singing. That's not it. He came to testify to the truth, and he is the truth. Everyone on the side of truth, Jesus said, listens to me. So God came down in the person of Jesus. He became flesh to save us from our sins, to testify to the truth. And then finally, so many other, I could have had a lot of points, but Billy's told me three is the way you're supposed to do this. Right, Billy? Three? Just three? Okay. Love. God came down to, number three, to heal the brokenhearted and give life to the lost. Man, and this time of year, I know that this is for some of you, this is your first Christmas with a particular empty chair at the table. I know some of you have loved ones in the hospital as we speak. I know some of you are lonely. Some of you are brokenhearted. Some of you are depressed. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And He heals those who are crushed in spirit. Jesus, man, probably one of my favorite scriptures was when Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened." Man, we have this Savior. And as I open my arms to illustrate how He must be saying that to us, "Come to me if your heart is broken, if you need restoration." His arms were nailed wide open on the cross so that He could receive us. He's close to the brokenhearted, saves those who are crushed in spirit. And Jesus Himself said, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy." So we have to understand that we have an enemy, and his goal is to steal, kill, and destroy us. He wants to take us out. He wants to destroy marriages. He wants to destroy faith. He wants to destroy relationships with our spouse, our children, our friends, our parents, our co-workers, the person that cut us off in traffic. He wants to destroy us. He wants bitterness and hatred to build a home in our spirit. But Jesus said, "Well, that's the enemy. But I've come to give you life. Abundant life." It's life that, not just eternal life someday, it's not just someday, it's right now. He sits with us at the table when we are brokenhearted. So Jesus says, "I'm the way and I'm the truth and I'm the life. I'm not a way, I'm not a truth, and I'm not a life. I am the way, truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So the simple message today, church, as we leave, I hope many of you will come tonight. It's a great service that we have. And if I hear any amens after this next statement, I'm not going to be happy. There will be no preaching tonight. Did I hear an amen over there? God came down in human form because He loves us. I mean, that's the very essence of Christmas. He became flesh because He loves us. Jesus, these words are attributed to Jesus, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. So whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." You see that the motivation, "For God so loved that He gave so that we'll have life." That is the message of Christmas. That's the gospel. That's what we have to cling to, and that's what we have to share. Anybody out there? Anybody listening? If you'll pray with me, invite the choir to come back up. Father, thank You for this glorious message that You became flesh. You, God, in the form of Jesus, You became flesh and dwelt among us. You became flesh because You love us. You want to save us from our sins. You want to speak the truth to us, and You want to give us life. May that hit us in a new and powerful and fresh way this year, this moment, right now. Holy Spirit, You do that. Do that in us. Because You love us, because You gave Jesus, because You've given us life, we love You back. And it's in that name above every name we pray, Jesus. Amen. So I invite you to rise if you're able as we close. And if you don't know that Jesus, what a great day to claim him as your Lord and Savior. Amen. See me on the way out. So loved. Instead of the world, you put your name in there. Can we do that? Yes. Some of you slower ones, try and get somebody to help you. Okay, you can do it back there. For God so loved. Yes. Let's do it again. We're practicing. For God so loved.
Yes.
That he gave Jesus so that you would have life.
Yes.
Eternal life, abundant life. That's good news, church. Go and tell someone Merry Christmas. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.